Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, June 10th. Are you facing a situation that feels a little like you're being tossed around on a turbulent ocean? Today's podcast brings more of the Life Principles series, this time to point us to our anchor in times of storm.
How do you ride out the storms in your life? Because we all have them. Some of us have a little more difficult storms than others, but we all have storms. How do you ride them out? Do you want to give up and quit and just walk away, or do you have to fight to endure them? How do you respond? Well, what I want to talk about in this message is this, and that is our anchor in the times of storm. The Bible says that His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is certainly an anchor in our time of storms. Now think about this for a moment. Storms are inevitable. Our anchor is immovable. Let's say it together. Storms are inevitable. Our anchor is immovable. That is, it doesn't move. It doesn't change. It anchors us solid to the rock of Christ. So, if that's true, then what we have to ask is this. What is it about the Bible that can anchor me in times of great storms? And I can tell you, only by the grace of God and the anchor of the Word of God did He take me through some of these storms that I've been through in life, and many of you could testify the same thing. So I'm going to put a definition of what this book, the Bible, is. Listen, the Bible is the written record of God's revelation of Himself. That is, God revealing Himself. It's the record of God's unfolding revelation of Himself through the spoken word, in nature, in history, and ultimately through the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. So let's think about that for a moment. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is a God of truth. This book is the book of truth. And when people tell you that it's full of errors, first of all, they're speaking in ignorance, unbelief, and sin. You can mark it down. It is God's unfolding revelation of Himself. Listen, through the spoken word, think about His prophets and those who spoke for Him in years past. Through nature, look how He worked in nature, whether it was the floods or whatever it might be. And in history, look how He worked through the nation of Israel and through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul and so forth. And finally, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody says, well, what is God like? If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Here's what Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you've seen the Father." He was not talking about physically. He's talking about who He is, the person. "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I only do those things that I see the Father doing." You see, if you don't understand who God is, and this is His book, then it's not going to do you any good to read it if you don't understand who it is that wrote it. So let's think about for example, who He is. God is the Creator. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe, and He's the judge of all mankind. When you think about what His attributes are, for example, He's an eternal God. He is holy. He is just. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's God of mercy, faithfulness, and love. Now, what is it about God you don't like? What is it about God you change? The only people who would change anything about God are people who are living in sin and don't like God's viewpoint of their sin. Because think about this. You mean if He's a God of love and goodness and mercy and kindness, and He's a God of justice, you don't want justice in your life? In other words, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all these and many more attributes, unchanging. What is it about God you don't like? Or what is it about His Word you don't like? What is it about Jesus you don't like? You see, how foolish to insist that the Bible is full of errors when God is holy. Listen, God could not be holy and give me a guidebook full of errors to mislead me. He cannot. And so that's why we say, you know, if you want an anchor, here is the anchor. Now, here's the question. All right? If I understand what the Bible is, God's unfolding revelation of Himself, and understand who this God is that gave us the Word, how does the anchor help me when I'm in times of storm? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Look at the promises of God. This anchor is an anchor full of promises. When I think about it, how many awesome promises there are in the Word of God. He promises to give us peace, not when everything is going our way, but right in the midst of storms. And does He not say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in Me." What was He saying? He was saying that to men who were living in a storm that very night, and the storm was getting ready to turn into a tornado and a hurricane altogether. Jesus is going to be crucified the next day. What's He saying? Let not your heart be troubled. This is, listen, when He was here, that's the living anchor. He said it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. What did He say? He says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And on we could go of the things that He said. To do what? To comfort them, to assure them, promise after promise after promise. And no matter what you're going through, you can mark this down. There is a promise in the Word of God that will match what storm you're going through. You can't come up with one. You know why? Think about this. This infinite God of ours, who gave us the revelation of Himself, because He's omniscient, He knew every single kind of storm that could ever come upon humanity, from Adam and Eve in the garden to this present day, until He comes back and wraps it all up. He knows all about all storms. So therefore, when He gave us His Word, how many storms does His Word cover? All of them. You cannot think of one He does not consider. The promises of His presence, the promise of His power, the promise of His provision in our life, whatever that need is. And sometimes the need is very simple. I just need to know You're here, Lord. I just need to be reminded that You understand why I feel what I feel. I just need to know, dear God, that You understand why I'm upset. You need to know why my faith is wavering. God, I know that You understand. I just need to be comforted and assured. And when I think about people who live their entire life and very seldom ever open the Word of God, listen, how foolish. How foolish. Because you see, you're unprepared to live in this godless society. You never know what storm's coming. So what happens when they come? That is, how do you ride them out? And the ship and the storm, anchored, they ride it out. Did they get shook up? Yes. Beaten a little bit? Yes. But they ride it out. The storm is over, and they sail on. It's the awesome power of this awesome God of ours. And the Bible says not only is He a comfort, but He's a compass to us. Listen to what He says. In that 119th Psalm, 105th verse, "My word is a lamp to your feet, light to your path." He shows us the path, and then He gives us enough light to follow that path, step at a time. He's not going to show you all the way, but a step at a time. It's a promise. It's a compass we have to guide us. And no sailing vessel would leave port without a compass or an anchor. No compass, you don't know where you are. And what does He say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. He'll keep you in the channel. He'll keep you off the rocks. He'll keep you out of the shallow waters. He'll keep you in the right direction. That's the promise of the Word of God. And that's why this anchor needs to be a part of our life every single day, no matter what's going on. And I think one other way it helps us as an anchor is this. When I read in the Old Testament, for example, how God worked in the life of His servants, and for me personally, growing up, that was the most helpful thing about the Bible. When I'd read how God worked in in Abraham's life, in Moses' life, in Joshua's life, in David's life, in Daniel's life, those men primarily, I learned an enormous amount of how God works. How did He work in their life? How would I know that without the anchor? How would I know that if I had no Bible? I wouldn't know it. Because you see, why did He give us all of that? He didn't give us all that just to give stories. And Paul says, what is in the Old Testament is for our good, so that we will not repeat the same mistakes and suffer the same consequence. He makes it clear in Corinthians. This is an anchor that is well worth what's going on. One other thing the anchor does is simply this. It helps me get God's viewpoint on what's happening to me. How would that happen? When I see how He allowed and sent storms in the past, I think, okay, what similarities are there in this storm that I'm going through? How does God view these things? God doesn't view the storms in your life and my life as something that just happens. People say, well, that's just an accident. In other words, are there just accidents in the life of men and women whose God is the Lord and who has said that He will govern and guide our life? Does that mean that everybody's going to live a long, healthy life? No. Because you and I have some bit of responsibility ourselves. But I do believe that when God intervenes in a person's life early, and I was thinking about that this week, thinking about my father, for example, who died when I was 9 months of age. Now, my mother never understood that. She passed away when she was about 84, and she was still asking me. She would say to me, you know, I still can't figure out why God took Charlie. She never could figure that out. And I tried to give her a little insight into it, but, you know, when you're her age, you believe what you believe, and that's about it. And so I don't know that I ever convinced her of anything. But I can look back and say, well, that wasn't a mistake. And his disease that would be curable today, God knew all about that. He could have let him live if he'd have chosen to, but He didn't. So why didn't He? Not having a father drove me to God very, very early in my life, drove me to the Word of God, drove me to see how God worked in the lives of Old Testament characters, because I didn't have anybody else to tell me that. I can see how God used all of that to drive me to God early, to depend upon Him, to learn to trust Him no matter what. I think about the fact, for example, when my first real job was delivering newspapers. I think, well, that wasn't the best job in the world, 5:30 in the morning, and you had to take a bag of papers on this side and a bag on this side, and you had to walk everywhere, none of this driving and tossing things. You say, well, I could have had a better job. No, you know what? God knew that He had something in mind to get me up at 5 and 5:30 every morning, to be disciplined, to dress myself. And in those days, it snowed at times and rain, sleet, hail, but you had to go no matter what was going on. You had no excuse for not delivering the paper. And so He got me up every morning. Well, I was a little bit afraid of the dark. Well, how could God use that? I tell you exactly how. Because I'd get up before I walked out the door, start praying. I would pray all the way around my paper route, because there was nothing much going on at 5 and 5:30, 6 o'clock in Danville, Virginia. And so I look back and see the things that could have been better. God knew that for me it was best. So sometimes what appears to be storms in our life may be a storm. But on the other hand, the question is, what's God doing in the storm? And you can mark this down. Whatever the storm is, He is at work. He's at work in the storm. And for somebody who's unwilling and unwilling to look in the Bible and look at all the promises here, He's up to something good in every single storm, if we'll just trust Him. Now, it's one thing to have an anchor. But as I said, no ship is going to leave port without an anchor and a compass. It's one thing to have an anchor, but you know what? Possessing it doesn't really make it work. For example, some people seem to have the idea that they take the Bible home and they put it on the table beside the bed at night and they're going to osmose it all night long. Somehow it's just going to get, it's not going to work. Or if you sleep on it, maybe you'll get it that way. You know how you get it? Here's how the anchor works. First of all, you got to read it. Secondly, you got to meditate on it. What is it saying? What's the message to me? Thirdly, you got to believe what it says. And fourthly, you've got to be willing to apply it to your life, not somebody else's life. And number five, you got to be willing to obey it. Then the anchor works every single time. So the next time the storm hits you, remember what the anchor is, and that's the way you handle the anchor. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are, what you're going through. You may be someone who's never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I don't get all that. Well, here's the reason you don't. Now, I understand. You see, as long as you live in sin, you will never understand the truth of God. And until you're willing to acknowledge your sinfulness and the fact that God sent His Son Jesus into the world for the primary purpose of dying on the cross and paying your sin debt in full. Let me explain that. That means that the death of Jesus, who was the perfect Son of God, called the Lamb of God to be sacrificed as payment for your sin and mine. God placed the guilt of the whole world on His Son, crucified Him at the cross, and in so doing, made it possible for every person who believes in Him to be forgiven of their sin forever, their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, eternally a child of God. It took Jesus to die, not someone else. Because you see, He's the only perfect person who's ever lived. And the whole Old Testament is a testimony to the fact that the Lamb that was slain, a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus, that Lamb had to be absolutely spotless, or it would not be an acceptable sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, went to the cross, died for your sins, and the moment you went to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse your heart, surrender your life to Him, He's willing to forgive you. The Holy Spirit comes into your life to seal you as a child of God. That's a testimony of Scripture. And from that moment on, you can begin to grow as a Christian. And all the things that we've talked about can become a reality in your life. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, let me just say this. You are sailing in dangerous waters. You don't have Him. You don't have a compass. You don't have the Word of God in your life. You don't have an anchor. And you think about this. You're just sailing around. There are lots of rocks, lots of shallows. And one of these days, you're going to shipwreck. I know that's hard for you to believe when you've got so much and you're so healthy and you're so, as you think, happy at this point. Ask any man who's ever piloted a ship, is it not foolish and suicide to go without an anchor and a compass and just go with the wind and the current? The current of today will lead you away from God. That's why we need the anchor to hold us steady. Amen. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit sink this message so deep that it cannot be lost. That every single person who hears it here and around the world will be able to identify with the need of Christ in the times of storm in their life. We know that You have the power. Whatever language it's spoken in, You have the power to use it, to bring about the salvation of multitudes of people, the assurance and confidence and comfort in millions of others. And that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of Our Anchor in Times of Storm. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.